All right, well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Timothy. Of course, it will be on the screen for you to read, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read from there today, and we'll jump right in. Father, in the name of Jesus, how grateful we are for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for how great you are, how good you are. We stay amazed, and so we pour out our praise on you. We pour out our love on you because you are great and worthy to be praised. So thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to express our worship and praise to you. And now as we dive into your word, we ask that you would open up our understanding and our comprehension that we might hear what you have to say, apply it to our lives, and live radically in a world that desperately needs you. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I want to share a message this morning that I've entitled Junk Food Theology. Junk Food Theology. Does any of that look good to anyone? Say a word. Sometimes when we go to the Word of God, we know that the Bible has a lot of different things that it wants to say to us. There's a lot of times that God speaks comfortably to us and speaks healing words over our lives. And then how many of you have ever gone to the Word and it seems like He's yelling at you? That the Word is cutting and pulling at us. But we all know that any time that we approach the Word of God, any time we look at what the Word of God is saying, we know that it's coming from the heart of a Father who loves us. How many of you know that? That when you go to the Bible or when you hear a message or a sermon, that you know that when you're sitting in a sanctuary and the Word of God is being spoken over your life, that it is coming to you from the motivation of a God who says, you are mine, right? That you belong to me, as Matt was saying, that you are His desire. And so therefore He wants to speak truth into our lives. But lots of times we do come to the Bible with our mouths open, wanting to be filled, but we're not always wanting to be filled with what we want to hear. How many of you will agree with that? I like junk food. Who doesn't like junk food? Is there anybody in here who doesn't like junk food? Some of you, I don't know. Some of you have eaten healthy for so long that you just can't stand a ho-ho or a cupcake. So if you don't want yours, you can give it to me. I think all of us, at least once in a while, want a piece of junk food, right? Maybe too many times we want that. It tastes good. It's addictive. How many of you know it's hard for me to go into a gas station? You go into a gas station and it calls to you. You know, there's the forbidden section over there that's calling out to you, that wants you to go look at the Little Debbies and the Hostess snack cakes and the donuts and the candy bars and the Skittles and the Starburst. Fast food is so convenient. It's quick. It's easy. It's greasy. And it tastes extremely good. Right? And that's always the issue with junk food. Your body craves that sweet, that taste, that salt, that fat, that grease, you know. One of my favorite hamburgers in all the world, I'm talking about anywhere you go, is a Five Guys burger. And a lot of people are like, well, I don't really care for Five Guys. It's too greasy. I'm like, exactly. What? I don't understand your argument. If I could take the burger out and dip it in the grease. You know, and you order small fries and they give you like a gazillion of them. And those Cajun fries, my gosh, I could eat them till my tongue goes raw. Hallelujah. Well, let's go. I'll see y'all out. Let's go to Five Guys. You can eat outside there. Junk food calls to us, right? It's the sugar, it's the fat, it's the death. It all just calls to us, but it's tasty. And sometimes it's even called comfort food, right? We eat it to drown our sorrows or to get our mind off something. I mean, some of us, if we're bored, we eat. How many of you, I believe COVID did that to a lot of us. We weren't hungry. We just didn't have anything else to do. So I think I'll go to the refrigerator and open it up and hope that something else showed up in there that wasn't there the last time I opened the refrigerator. You ever done that before? Nope. Come back 30 minutes later, same thing. Has nobody gone to the grocery store in the last 30 minutes? We turn to junk food many times to just veg out in front of the television so we can get Doritos all over ourselves or whatever. Some of you have got those. How many of you still have T-shirts that have grease spots on them and you wear them when you get home? Well, Don, what's that shirt you've got you wear all the time that Kelly's tried to burn? It's a coach shirt of some sort. We veg out in front of the TV, we put sloppy clothes on, and we like to eat junk food. Now, the problem is we don't have to be reminded about how bad junk food is. We not only hear it from our doctors, we've seen the documentaries of folks who've decided to eat, you know, like McDonald's for a month and what it did to their body and how they felt after they ate it, and all I did was I was just jealous. I'm glad you got an opportunity. But it's not just that we've been told or we've seen it. We've experienced it ourselves. We've experienced what junk food does to our lives. We've all had times in our lives where we've eaten too much junk food and we're left feeling bloated and tired and sick. And that's because we all know, despite how good and tasty it is and how addictive it is, that there is ultimately no substance to junk food. It offers no real nutritional value. Although a donut does have 2 grams of protein. Now you're free. All right? And we know that we only eat junk food, we're basically going to lead, if that's all we eat, we're going to lead unhealthy lives. If that's all that we're filling our gullet with, we know that it's going to lead to some bad situations physically in our lives. But what about spiritual junk food? Is it possible for us to be filling our spirits with junk food that can cause us to live unhealthy, unbalanced spiritual lives? And the Bible seems to indicate as such. For a matter of fact, I believe that the most dangerous poison in the church is not worldly influence, but false and unhealthy doctrine. When we do not found our lives on true, healthy doctrine, we are tearing down the church from the inside out. J.C. Ryle said that we should be no more tolerant towards false doctrine than we are tolerant towards sin. We should never tolerate false doctrine any more than we tolerate sin. Why? Because they are both deadly. Lots of times we feel like that our battle is always from the outside, when many times we're creating our own battle by filling our minds with trash theology most of the time. 2 Timothy is Paul's farewell letter to Timothy. He knows that his time is short. The famous passage of Scripture that he has run his race, finished his course, is found here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So he's encouraging Timothy to continue to be bold. Timothy was an elder in the church of Ephesus, probably was the pastor of the church there in Ephesus. And so he's continuing to tell him to be bold. What's he telling him to do? He says, preach the gospel. Do it in season and out of season. What's that mean? That means always be ready. That means you do it even when it's not convenient. Preach the gospel in season, out of season. Be ready, even when it's not convenient, preach the gospel. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with patience and teaching or instruction. In other words, it is important that the word, Timothy, be your focus. Let the word of God be your focus at the church there in Ephesus. Why? He tells him why. There is coming a time where people will no longer want to hear sound. And in the Greek, the word sound there literally means healthy. They don't want to hear healthy doctrine. What will they do? They will accumulate to themselves teachers that will suit their desires or passions, or could we say their appetites. We will find and look for that theology, that doctrine that feeds us what our appetite once. Now, you guys know as well as I do, if you go to a restaurant, if the food's no good, you might give them one more chance. And then after that, they're off the list.
Amen.
Right? Because if they're not giving me what I want to eat, and it doesn't taste good, then I'm moving on. Now, there are some, you know, fast food restaurants, you just kind of take what you get, right? You know, you go through the drive-thru, and sometimes the fries aren't fully cooked, or, you know, sometimes they didn't put the pickles on the burger, or sometimes the sweet tea's been sitting there way too long. Don't you hate that? You got that large sweet tea, and man, that's been there for 7 days. You know, so you just keep going back because you know it's fast food. But if you're going to a restaurant and you're planning on paying big bucks for a steak or something, if they get it wrong every time you go, eventually you're like, that place stinks. I'm not going back. I'm going to go someplace where I like what I'm being fed. There's not anything necessarily wrong with that, but when it comes to spiritual theology, if we are shopping for what feeds our desires and our own appetites instead of what the Word wants, letting the Word say what it wants to say to us, then we're ending up eating spiritual junk food. It says that they will have itching ears. In other words, if you've got itching ears, you're saying, tell me what I want to hear. One translation says it is an insatiable curiosity to hear new things. I've always noticed this, man. You know, I went to a very extremely Pentecostal Bible college, okay? And, yeah, extreme Pentecostal Bible college. And, you know, you see a lot of spiritual people that love God, that love the Word, that love the Holy Spirit. And then you always see those that are, you know, slightly out in left field somewhere that consistently float around on a cloud or, you know, somehow they have this relationship with God that goes beyond anyone human understanding. And so lots of times in Pentecostal and full gospel and charismatic circles, there's this consistent need to get a new word from God. I got to get some type of new revelation from God. If I'm not hearing something brand new, then I must not be close to the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I do believe the Spirit of God still speaks. I do believe the Spirit of God still gives us information and leads us and directs us. But the job of the Holy Spirit is not to bring new revelation, but to illuminate to us the revelation that has already been given. To bring to our reality what God's Word has already said. And so what happens with junk food theology, even in charismatic circles, is that we jump from conference to conference and meeting to meeting, trying to find some new evangelist, some new prophet, some new apostle or apostolos who will speak over our lives and give us some brand new word when God is calling us to get back to the healthy, sound Word of God that builds our lives. We have to be careful sometimes. You know, I am one who wants to hear the voice of God. I recognize that the Holy Spirit tells us to move, and there are times that we need to go and we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we have to be careful if we consistently feel like that God's always calling us to someplace else. If we're never faithful with where we are, what makes you think God's going to take us somewhere else? But instead, what we do, we have itching ears. We want new revelation. Give me something. Give me another reason to feel good. Give me junk food. Something quick, something easy, something convenient, something that will fill me up fast. Not knowing or not caring that it's slowly killing us spiritually. And so a lot of folks will turn aside to the drive-thru where they can order what they want and not actually have to listen to the truth. Right. One of the convenient things about a drive-thru is not only that you don't have to get out of your car, right? You don't have to have too much interaction with people, right? You talk to a sign, you drive up, you hand them your money. Just give me my money back. I don't need a conversation. There's people in line, right? You pull up to the window, they hand you your bag, you drive off. You don't even know people's names. You don't even know who they are. You just know they gave you food. Right? That's the benefit of the drive-thru. Many times drive-through theology allows us to just get what we need and there's no interaction, there's no connection, we don't have to get dirty, we don't have to get into people's lives, we don't have to give of ourselves, we don't have to serve, we just pour up to the window, hand me my stuff, and I'm driving off. Unless there's something wrong, and I'll be back. In the middle of this, Paul encourages Timothy in verse 5 that we didn't read, to be watchful or sober-minded, to endure afflictions, to do the work of an evangelist. In other words, keep doing what you're doing, Timothy. In the middle of all this, in the middle of folks not wanting to hear the gospel, not really wanting to receive what God is saying to them, continue in your ministry, continue to be bold. He tells him in verse 6 that he is, when he does this, he is making full proof, or he is fulfilling his ministry. So Paul is saying, in spite of the insatiable appetites of those who want the junk food, stick to the word, Timothy. Stick to the gospel. Preach the word. No matter what the insatiable desire of those around you want, preach the word. Many times we're under the assumption that every time we read the word or we hear a sermon, we're supposed to feel good. And I know some of you are like, we're not? Not really. Not necessarily, right? That it's always going to be some type of soothing, calming, loving whisper of the Lord of how wonderfully cool you are. Right? God, tell me how pretty I am. That we are to walk away from the scriptures, many times we think, with a higher view of ourselves and how perfect our life is supposed to be. But unfortunately, many times, that is junk food. That's junk food. Now, don't get me wrong. There's the flip side of that. Many people, they feel like that every sermon and every time they go to the Word, it's supposed to tell them that they're all pathetic and they're worms and they're nobodies and that God doesn't want them and God doesn't love them and God doesn't have any blessings for their lives. And that's spiritual junk food also. When we allow our minds to be filled with this fluffiness of this let me make you feel better about yourself gospel, that's junk food. But then when all we hear is the message of, well, you're all a bunch of dirt bags going to hell, that's also spiritual junk food. We have to hear what God is saying to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, just right up before what we read, actually tells us what the Word of God is supposed to do. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, which inspiration means God-breathed. It is God-breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now keep that there for just a minute. So it tells us right here what the Word of God's supposed to do. Paul is saying, Timothy, if you preach the Word, and you're preaching it faithfully, and you're preaching it the way it's supposed to be preached, this is what it should do. It should be profitable for doctrine, which would be teaching. It would be learning. It would be knowledge. We talked about what do you know not too long ago. It's good to know. We need to know doctrine. We need to understand what the Trinity is. We need to understand who God is. We need to understand who Jesus is. We need to understand what the Holy Spirit is. We should know what the word propitiation means. We should know. It is inspiration that brings knowledge to our lives. But it also brings reproof. The Greek word for reproof there means to expose for the purpose of bringing to repentance. It is for correction. We don't like to be corrected. I'm already right. For instruction, for learning, for insight, for knowing. Now, the next passage of Scripture, I forgot to put that on there, is that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto a good work. So the Word of God also trains us in how to live righteously. It leads to maturity, and it equips our lives. It equips our lives to do what God has called us to do. So, this is what the message of the gospel is. There's more to than just talking about all the victories, and there's more to just talking about how bad off we are. We need the full gospel, and I hope that that's what we always preach here at Living Faith Christian Church. There's no Christian anymore. Living Faith Church. That we need to hear the gospel that tells us we are the blessed and favored of God and we live victoriously in His name, but we also need to hear the gospel that says there is a time that we need to repent and turn to Christ and know His grace and mercy. really quickly, four things. What does junk food theology look like, or what does it produce? Normally, number one, it's normally a product of immaturity. Who normally likes junk food the most? Children. Our son Avery lives in consistent snack mode. He would literally survive on snack food if we would let him. He can be sitting there placing the last piece of chicken in his mouth and turn and say, "Can I have a snack?" He would live on snack food if he could. Most kids love junk food. Am I right? If you give them the opportunity, here's a salad. Here's a package of Skittles. I mean, I'm choosing the Skittles too, to be honest with you, but you know what the kid is choosing. Hebrews chapter 5, look at these verses of Scripture. The writer of Hebrews is getting a little tough here. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 11, he says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing." That's a good way to start, isn't it? How y'all doing this morning? You're all a bunch of dull hearers. I can't see the top of that. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What's the writer saying there? He's saying that some of us, these folks here, were living off milk when they should have been eating solid food. They had not grown in their spiritual walk with God, and therefore, instead of receiving the meat of the word, they were still getting all of the feel-good milk. Snack food Christians are those who live off the bumper sticker sayings, coffee mug scriptures, and the occasional verse of the day. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? We've got the coffee mugs, we've got the bumper stickers, we've got the t-shirts. We get the verse of the day pops up. Oh, I feel holy because the verse of the day popped up on my phone and I read it. Right? Snack food. We've got snacks. We find the verses that we like and we snack on them. Right? Instead of actually reading the Bible. And many times those snacks are taken completely out of context. We're taking verses of Scripture that don't even mean what they mean and trying to apply it to our lives because we're not reading. We're not allowing the Word of God to get into our lives. The Bible tells us that we are called to study and live the whole counsel of God. So first of all, junk food theology is typically a production of an immature life. Secondly, it's based on emotion or what we feel. Junk food is called comfort food for a reason. We have to be careful when we start basing our spiritual growth and our spiritual life on how we feel. Again, it can go both ways. The enemy can tell you that you aren't a Christian because you don't feel something all the time. Or we end up rating our spiritual life based upon how much feeling I have in my heart. The living off emotion can be manifested in how much we emphasize worship and singing. Now, let me say this for just a minute. Y'all know as well as I do that I am a worship pastor. I love worship, and I love our worship team. Talented, gifted, anointed. How many of you like worship? I love worship. Love worship time. But how often have we been pumped for worship and then zone out when the word is being preached? Why? Because worship feels good. Oh, they're singing my song. Right? It's just right. The temperature's just right. The right person is singing it. Oh, you know, and you got the chills and the hair standing up on the back of your neck. You want to just sing it one more time, one more time. One more time. Tears are rolling down. Yeah. This is why I came. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with that type of worship. But the problem is if our life is always based upon that experiential type activity, then we live very shallow Christian lives. There's no depth to our faith. Because what happens? When the feeling wears off, where are we standing? I mean, think about it. You can get hundreds of people to come out. We're having a gospel sing. They'll flock. Woo, sing another. Sing another. Right? Sing that song about heaven. About a million of them. It was like I did a funeral for a guy over in Boone County. Didn't even know who the guy was. Can I just tell you a story really quickly? The man's daughter called me and said, "Hey, this guy, my dad died, and he wanted you to do his funeral." And I'm like, "I don't even know who he is, right? Can think of it." I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'll do his funeral." So I'm like, "Well, I'll look at the picture in the obituary and find out who it is." Well, the picture in the obituary is from like 1960. You know, so I'm like, "Who is this guy?" You know, so I keep staring at it and staring at it, and I read the obituary, and it says he was a drill sergeant in the Marines, and I'm like, "Oh, I know who he is. He was over in Rumble Baptist, the Richard Harold Church, during a revival that I did. He stood up one time and testified and cussed in the middle of his testimony." But I'm like, "What do you expect from a former Marine drill sergeant?" And so somehow he wanted me to do his funeral. So I end up doing the funeral over in Boone County, but his daughter said, "We want a song at the funeral." And I'm like, "You know, that's not really my job, but okay, we'll figure out what we want to do." But then she's like, "He always liked that song about clouds." One thing I could think of was like, "Unclouded Day? Does he want to?" No, that's not it. I'm like, "Well, I don't know." Somebody, what's his name, played the guitar with Bill? And anyway. He showed up with a guitar and played Amazing Grace for me or something. I don't know. But anyway, we love that. We love that music. We love that feeling that it gives to us. But the problem is that we want that feeling without the challenging part that requires us to do a little bit of work. Listening, meditating, studying the Word of God takes work, and it doesn't always feel good. But neither does eating healthy food all the time. Or having a consistent exercise routine. But if we want to stay alive, we should probably do some of that. But if we want to be healthy, we have to put in the work. And so I say, be careful that we don't live our lives off of the worship experience and not based and rooted in sound doctrine. Number three, it burns out quickly. Junk food theology burns out quickly. Junk food feeds you up, and it always hits the spot. But the problem is, it's a bunch of empty calories that burns out quickly, and eventually you crash after you eat it. When we live our lives by snacking on the Word at best, or filling our minds with theology that's only meant to make us feel good, we will burn out when we are called to endure. Amen. The fact is, the Christian life is a race, and it requires good fuel to keep going. The Christian life is a battle, and we need to be equipped and properly prepared to face the enemy. Junk food makes us sluggish. It adds weight to our pursuit, and we've been called to lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us. Faith grows in a true revelation of who God is, not a picture of God that we have created by our own appetites to fit our frame. We can't make it through the tough times of life if we are not feeding our faith with healthy doctrine. If we only feed ourselves with that doctrine that makes us feel good, then when we don't feel good, our faith will falter. Number four, finally, it ruins our appetites. How many of you have heard that from your parents growing up? No, you can't have that cookie before dinner. It will ruin your appetite. Now, how many of you now that you are parents, eat that cookie before dinner? Come on now. As much as I hated to hear it, and still hate to hear it, it is true. Not only does the cookie fill us up with an overload of calories, it tells our bodies that we're no longer hungry. It robs us, so therefore it tells us that we're not hungry, and then it robs us of the desire to eat healthier foods. If we consistently fill ourselves with junk, then our bodies no longer desire what's healthy for it. When we fill our hearts with junk food theology, we lose an appetite in hearing the truth. Paul's letter to the Galatians, it was a direct attack on a false theology that was trying to replace the true gospel. Paul was shocked that the Galatians were so easily led astray to another gospel that was based on works and not based upon the grace of God. He even said that you've been fooled, how you've strayed from the life-saving message of the gospel. It is dangerous If we only live from one feel-good sermon to another or one feel-good service to another, we can't live off the revival high or what I used to call church camp theology. How many of you, when you were teenagers, got saved 17 times at church camp? You went to church camp every summer and got saved. And then when the feeling of church camp was over and you had to actually live your faith, you couldn't make it because you weren't feeling the church camp. You weren't feeling the revival. That's one of the things that happens with revival. We have a week-long revival, maybe a two-week. Man, we've gotten crazy. The Holy Ghost is moving. We're crying and experiencing the Lord. But eventually, the revival ends and we have to go live our lives. And if we fill ourselves with junk food theology, then we can't make it because we've now ruined our appetites for what it takes for us to actually sit down, study the Word, and pray ourselves. Sooner or later, we have to feed ourselves the full dose of God's Word if we're going to grow. Now, there are other things that we could say about junk food theology, but I want to challenge you with those four. Are we allowing the Word of God to do what it needs to do in us? Are we allowing the Word of God to say what it needs to say, or are we only hearing what we need to hear? Are we studiers? Do we study the Word? Are we those who desire to feast on the Scriptures until we hear all that God wants to say to us? This should be our heart. This should be our motivation. I don't just need quick and convenient. I don't just need to hear what sounds good or makes me feel good. I don't necessarily have to beat myself consistently over the head as though I'm a constant failure. I need to hear the whole truth. I don't want to live on junk food. I want the feast. I want what God says to me. And when His Word heals, I'm going to let it heal. When His Word convicts, I'm going to let it convict. When the Word of God encourages me and points out the victory that is mine, I'm going to rejoice over that. And when the Bible points at my life and says, not every lifestyle is okay, not every decision that you make is all right, sin is still deadly, I'm going to allow the Word of God to say that to me. Because why? This is what brings me life. This is what brings me a spiritually strong life. Bow your heads with me here this morning. Father, how grateful we are for Your Word, for the truth of Your Word. How grateful we are, Lord, that You are faithful to us and You are faithful through Your promises. As Pastor Don read here this morning, we rejoice over it. We are glad because of it. We can shout and dance because Your promises are true. They stand. They're real. But we also rejoice over Your commandments, God. Your commandments that tell us how we should live and the direction that we should walk in. Your commandments, oh God, that point out the places in our heart that need fixed, that need repented of. How gracious we are. How gracious we are for Your mercy, for Your goodness to us. And we ask now today, God, that You would strip away from us every lie that we've put around our lives and help us hear Your Word today. Bow your heads with me here this morning. I know many times when we hear a sermon like this, there's not necessarily an altar call that could do it justice because this is something that we have to apply to our life on a consistent basis. But I believe in starting somewhere. And some of us here this morning, we've been living off junk food theology. We've been living maybe a Christian life in which we need to hear what makes us feel good. We need to hear what makes us look good. And we've rejected those parts of Scripture that have spoken to our hearts that make a demand on us. Demand repentance, surrender. And so it has to start someplace. So maybe today you want to say, God, I want to give Your Word preeminence in my life. There may be some of you in here that are not consistently even reading the Word. Not consistently hearing what God's saying. Skipping over parts that you don't like. We talked last week about wrestling with God. There has to come a time in our lives where we wrestle with the Scriptures. Where we wrestle with what God is saying. If we don't understand it, or maybe we don't like what it's saying, wrestle with God until you hear what He's saying to you. It's too important not to hear it. It's too important. And so if you're in this room today and maybe you've been struggling, God wants to put a new desire in your heart for Him, for His Word, for His promises. I challenge you to make a moment here today, whether it's at your pew or at this altar, to recommit yourself to diving into the Word of God and allowing it to say what it needs to say to you, whether it's uncomfortable or inconvenient, or whether it's rejoicing and victorious. Let the Word of God say what it needs to say to you this morning. If you're in this room today and you're uncertain of where you stand with God, you're living a half-hearted, at best, Christian life, I'm asking you to hear the voice of the shepherd today, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Life is short. We don't have forever. Eternity is a long time. So I need to know this morning, will you consider Jesus? If you're not right with God today, will you make things right with Him? If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, would you hear the message of the gospel that says, upon the cross He died that your sins might be washed and cleansed. 3 days later He rose again that you might be justified or made right in the eyes of God. If you don't know Him today, would you surrender your life to His love and grace? If you need a miracle in your life, you need a healing in your life, we want to pray with you. But whatever may be upon your heart today, this altar is open. We want to pray with you. We want to believe God with you.